invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I appreciate what Brother Stephen brought out in his Sunday school lesson this morning about Brother John and how the Lord used him in a special way, and the things that are conveyed to us about assurance and how our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. He is the focus. He is preeminent. And the series of messages and how we started out about worship, you know, it is pleasing unto God Almighty that He be glorified and worshiped in the Son. And we know that God is a triune, but the Lord Jesus Christ is that mediator, the only mediator between God and man. And it's pleased the Father to do that and have it that way. When our practice and our doctrine and our way of faith, if you would call it, loses sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, let it be known, and it is guaranteed that you and I are off course. We're off course if we lose sight of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a temptation that is there. It is a possibility that is there for us to get off course in that focus. But we do not need to do that. And may the Lord help us indeed in that. And I'm thankful for the way that He does and has. We started and embarked upon from worship. Embarked upon a consideration of the service of the Lord God Almighty. And last time, in an introductory way, we took a look at our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example for all things, and took a look about how the Lord Jesus Christ serves, and how He served when He was here on this earth, and that example of service. We took a look at worship, and now we're taking a look at the distinctiveness and the difference of service of our Lord. This morning in John chapter 13, I want to ask the question, how far did Jesus go in being a servant? He being our example, how far did He go in being a servant? Let's just read through the first part of this chapter here and see about that. I think it's certainly manifested here. Now, before the feast of the Passover, and so, and I found recently that this passage is a little bit controversial in the way that some take it and apply it. Some believe that this is a supper, a meal that is had over in Bethpage or Bethany at Simon the leper's house. I've always taken it to be there in the upper room when the Lord is observing the Passover with His disciples. I think that there's evidence of that yet, I'm just going to take that position that it is there in the upper room by things that are said and then other passages that we know of. We'll not touch on those tonight. It's a different subject this morning, but it's a different subject for another time. But it's before the Passover, the feast of the Passover. And understand this in the Scriptures, that the 7 days of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, is commonly referred to as Passover also. It's kind of there's some synonymous reference there at times, because it seems like the focus with the Jews has been they ditched the Passover and focused more on the 7 days of unleavened bread as a historical point. Nevertheless, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, okay, and so... So they have eaten. I'm of the opinion that they have eaten the Passover, that the Lord has even instituted the Lord's Supper John doesn't focus on that. But he's the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. An understanding of this passage gives us insight as to who was there at the Passover, who was there at the instituting of the Lord's Supper, and who was there at this great act and work of service that the Lord did. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So he is there, Judas is there. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So we see an affirmation of the purpose and pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows why he's come. He knows where he's going. He knows what he is going to do. It didn't sneak up on him. But he willingly is going to go to Calvary. And all the work that the Father had given him to do up to this point, it was satisfied and complete. He's moving on to what's next. He knows where he came from. He knows his destination, God the Father. He riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments. Now, I just want us to slow down a little bit this morning and not read it so fast and not just go through it knowing what it reads. And I want us to think about that. Jesus, all of a sudden, their leader, our leader, our head, our Savior, our Lord, he gets up and he removes some of his clothes. I don't think he made himself naked, but he got himself down to maybe his undergarments and that. And they are there watching this and beholding this, and they're wondering, what is he doing? What is our master doing? What is our rabbi doing? And so he takes off a portion of his clothes so he doesn't get them dirty. He doesn't get them wet. Maybe it was such that he would have had his coat on yet. And so he takes that off. We know that he had a coat that was without seam from head to toe. Possibly he took that off. Okay? And took a towel that was available there, and he put it around his waist. He girded himself. He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to pursue something. And after that, he poureth water into a basin. So he goes over here in the room, and he gets a basin, a large bowl, and he gets the pitcher of water, or the cruse of water, whatever there is there that the water is in, and he pours that in that basin. And then with that basin, he goes over to someone. I don't know who it would be first. We're not told who it was that's first. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ does? He gets down on his knees. He gets down on his knees and he's got that basin, and he begins to wash their feet. Can you imagine? That's what we're trying to do this morning. This is the one that has preached to them and taught them for 3 years. This is one that has made so clear the Old Testament scriptures, some of which they have received and understood, some of which they just don't yet understand. From this passage in John, and full well, brothers and sisters, it does us well to become very acquainted with these coming chapters, from this chapter and these coming chapters, about the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his disciples before he goes to Calvary. They are rich with information that you and I need. They are a well and a spring of information and knowledge in our Lord that will help us to grow in grace and knowledge of him. We need to know it. You need to be familiar with it. This is our Lord and what he has done for us. And so he began to wash the disciples' feet. And understand, it's not just one disciple. It's number one. And the second. And the third. And the fourth. And the fifth. And the sixth. And the seventh. By the time you get down to the ninth or the tenth, how long is it taken? How fast do you wash feet in a basin getting up and down? 2-3 minutes apiece? Drying them off with the towel that he's girt about. He's willing to dry their feet with that towel, and the moisture from that saturating even the garments that he has left on. He's willing and to be soiled by this work that he is doing to his disciples. Could well, by the time it got down to the eighth or the ninth or the tenth, 20, 30 minutes could have passed. It wasn't something that happens as fast as you and I read it. And can you imagine the disciples' feelings about this? He is our Lord. Who are we to question him? That's the position of many of them. They're marveling, though. Their eyes are this big. What is he doing? If anybody ought to be washing anybody's feet, I'm sorry. Man, I tell you what, it's checked out, hadn't it? If anybody ought to be washing anybody's feet, it ought to be us washing his. Every single one of us in a row and in a line. Multiple times. He's worthy of it. But he's washing our feet. Brothers and sisters, this isn't put in the Scriptures just to give us a sentimental or emotional charge. This is in the Scriptures to teach us something. To teach us something about our Lord. And to teach us something that you and I need to have in our hearts continually about the calling of the Lord upon us to serve Him. And wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. Was Simon in the middle of the group? Was Simon at the end? Could you see that maybe some of our brethren would, maybe as the Lord started on the left and begin to work to the right or go around the table or that some would get up and would move around to the end? I don't know. I'm not saying that I know that they did or not. You see that Simon could maybe get up and want to move away and say, well, maybe this thing will kind of wear out before he gets to me. But finally he gets to Simon, doesn't he? And the thing is the Lord's insistent upon washing Simon's feet. He indicates to Simon that I'm going to wash your feet. Brother Peter, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter from the Scriptures is the first one to express that he doesn't like what's going on. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, that's a testimony to you and I that we need to obey. We need to submit. We don't have to understand. We just need to hear and obey. And I understand wanting to understand. But don't put off obedience until you understand. Let us obey. So what I'm doing to you now, you don't understand. But you will. When we don't understand and when we don't know, we need to hear what the command and the way of the Lord is and to obey in it and ask Him to help us to understand that. It's just that way with our Lord. He lays things before us we will not know what's next until we obey and what is in front of us now. It's just that way. If you and I have some aspect of our lives that the Lord has given to us in His Word, and we balk at it, we rest at it, we don't want to go there with it, I tell you what, we will not understand and we will not have the blessing of what's next until we obey there. It's just the way that it is. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I love you too much to let you serve me. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Wow. Peter, you've got to be washed. Now, there are those that take this passage and turn it into an ordinance for the Lord's churches, and that's not the purpose of this. It's not indicated in the Scripture whatsoever that somebody that's saved and comes before the church would be a member of the church. In baptism, we understand that entrance into the church, that also must have their feet washed. No, that's totally missing the point. Totally missing the point. We don't have that as a practice, or we don't have that as an ordinance, brothers and sisters. But I tell you what, we need to be willing. And if you need your feet washed, I need to be willing to do it. You need to be willing to do it. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You know what? That really struck a chord with Peter, because Peter is dedicated as much as he can, and he is a saved man. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He's still got his old man on him. The Lord's going to tell him some things about what his performance and what he's going to do. He says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If I don't wash you, Peter, you have no part of this work and this ministry and this call. What's Peter say? Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yes, okay. I have no other choice but to go with you and have part with you. He's given answer that who is Jesus? Jesus has asked the question earlier, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God, right here with us. Right here with us. Peter says, oh, no part with you. Oh, I don't want to go there. Wash my head, wash my feet too. I'm in. I'm with you. I love you. He's going to give testimony that he'd go to the death with him. Jesus saith unto him in verse number 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. You only need your feet washed, Peter. You don't have to have your head washed or your hands washed. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So I have indication here that it's not just the disciples, but there is an unbeliever amongst them. There is a betrayer amongst them. Unknown. Unknown to the church. Unknown to the apostles. They don't have a clue who it is. No suspicion whatsoever. But the Lord says, there's one of you here. There's some of you here. There's one here, some here that are not clean. You that I have washed that are mine are clean. The Lord Jesus has called the apostles to be his ministers, his servants, in that special way, that transition team, that early time of the church. And this seems to be partly a final identification of that apostleship that the Lord has called them with. He said, not all of you are clean. It goes on to say here, for he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. John wrote that in there. He came to understand, but before he wrote his gospel, that he was speaking of Judas. So after he had washed their feet and has taken his garments, the Lord Jesus, he didn't go through the apostles, we understand in this, and we believe it is the apostles. If there are others of the church there, we don't believe that it would be. What if it had been the entire congregation? That would have taken a while, wouldn't it? But we know, we're affirmed at the very least it was the apostles. And you know what? He did not skip over Judas. And the servant office, the servant role, the servant example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he even washed his enemies' feet. And he didn't grimace. He didn't make an exception. He didn't roll his eyes. He treated Judas no different than the rest. Our Lord, there with that basin, there with that towel wrapped around him, there with his own hands scouring and scrubbing the feet of even Judas. So after he had washed their feet, he washed them all, even his enemy that would betray him. He did good unto his enemy. And he knows he is his enemy, doesn't he? After he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. So it's affirmed. It's not that Jesus doesn't know who he is in his place. He is the Master. He is Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, verse 14, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If the leader, the Savior, our Lord and our King, our Deliverer, was willing to do that, as the Scripture refers to his brethren, which we are, being saved by the Lord, what's that say to you and me? We ought to be willing to. We ought to be willing to serve one another. We ought to serve one another.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has indicated greatly here that there's no big I's and little U's, is there? For we are brethren in the same family, and in our context, and in this context, in the same church. Our Lord, indeed, has a servant's heart, and so should we. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. A great example. How far did Jesus go in being a servant? He went all the way, didn't he? Amen. We think about service, we think about servant. You go to a restaurant, you serve. You go to get service on your car, they do it for you. You go to get something accomplished, there's this kind of service and that kind of service and that kind of service because they come, we hire them, and they do for us. In times past and in the world even yet today, where people have been owned or are owned, they are called servants because they do the bidding of those that own them or their masters. Well, our Lord, we are his servants, and he has indicated his heart as a servant, and he's left us this example. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, we need to get a hold of this. When the Lord Jesus says, verily, or verily, verily, truly, truly, you and I need to get a grip on it and never let go. With our hearts and with our minds. We don't need to take it and blow it off. We don't need to consider it as filler in the Scripture, but we need to get a hold of it. He says it's very, very important information. You cannot do without it. When he says, verily, verily, that's what he means. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He says, fellas, don't you expect to be any greater than what I have done. Because to pull back and to do less and to not be willing, like I have given you this example of being willing and doing, a lesser thing is not reserved for you. But you need to follow my example. I'm your Lord and I have done this. Is there less for you? Less to do? Understand what I'm saying? He was willing to wash their feet. The most menial thing in public that a person could do for another, the washing of feet. The Lord Jesus did it for his disciples. If I have done so, you're not greater than me. So you don't need to have an expectation of you not having to get here and do this too. You're not greater, but you're mine. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. I am sending, have sent, and will send you. You are not greater than me. And look what I have done. Look what I am willing to do. To show servitude, to show humility, to be the example of what you need to be for my sake. I'm sending you, and you're not greater than me. You know, it's real easy for us to have an attitude that we are greater, isn't it? That, well, I don't think I ought to have to do that. That this follows right in line. Our Lord has not asked us to do anything, commanded us to do anything that He hasn't done Himself. This is true. This is true. Verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, we did a VBS, was it last year? Or I think it was last year, Children of Our Lord in a Foreign Land. And you remember about that, how it was with all those examples, those four examples that we had in the out of the Scriptures, that those children of the Lord in a foreign land, all of them being taken captive, all served and walked with and before their Lord with joy, compassion. Naaman's wife's little maid, she didn't hold back on what she knew about how Naaman could have been cleansed. She said, would to God there was a prophet of the Lord here, he'd heal him. She didn't hold back, and she was rejoicing in the power and ability of her Lord. He said, you want to have joy in me? You follow this way. You follow this way. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Speaking of Judas, he was willing to serve even his enemy for the sake of humility, for the sake of the Word of God. Now I tell you before it come, he's speaking to them specifically, I'm telling you these things here and I'm doing these things here. You don't understand it. I'm giving you some understanding now. It's going to come clear. And when it comes clear, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. You'll be assured that I am. That I am the Messiah. I am your Savior. I am your Lord and your leader, your Master. Verse 20, verily, verily again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. My way is the only way. My way, Jesus says, is the only way. And I'm sending you. They receive you. They're receiving me. And if they receive you, they're receiving me. And they receive me, they're receiving the Father. This is the way of the Lord. How far did Jesus go in being a servant? Brothers and sisters, it says there in verse number 1, there at the end of the verse, we read it. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Isn't that something that John wrote that way? To the end of his ministry, to the end of giving life. Let's see, with the Lord, it's not the end. We understand how he's saying it. He loves us totally and fully and completely. For God so loved, he has loved greatly. Amen. Without measure and without understanding, comprehension that we can have, he has loved even unto servitude and abasing of self to give us an example of how we are to serve unto him, to serve. He went all the way to the end. Isn't that something? The fame of the Lord has become very great amongst the general population. His triumphant entry has been, I believe, in the previous chapter in this gospel, it's seen. He's beginning to take the glory that he has always deferred unto the Father and to himself. And then in the midst of this, when even the disciples are thinking that he would usher in the kingdom, he becomes a servant and washes their feet to give an example. How are we to serve? We're to serve the same way. May God help us. May our Lord help us. And may we strive and seek diligently to be a servant in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. A dear brother that you and I know, as in recent times, had closings to his emails and to his correspondence, lowercase a, lowercase s, a servant of capital T, D, capital S, servant. You know, I noticed that some time ago in the last handful of years that he's been using that. You know, and as I was studying for this message and considering about this topic of service and our serving our Lord and his example unto us, I tell you what, that's a great claim that we need to strive to meet up to. Amen? A servant of the servant. Wow. I tell you what, I like that. And may the Lord help us that we pursue that. Our Lord Jesus, there is an element here that we having the need, the disciples' feet were dirty. He met the need and washed it. Okay? It's beyond that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Their feet were dirty. They had the need. You know what? He could do it, and he met it. He was willing. And he showed more than that. Well, you know what? We had a need with our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ met the need. There was nobody else that could meet the need. But he stepped in and he met the need. And may that be always before us and in our minds and in our hearts.